We turn to microphone number two.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Bruce Campbell. I'm with the Department of Social Services, and I'm the coordinator for the Central Coast Waiting Child Network. We're a bunch of social workers, and we really didn't understand marketing very well, so we joined with the local media to establish a regional network for public child welfare agencies and local media representatives. The purpose of the Central Coast Waiting Child Network is to coordinate and consolidate foster care and adoption recruitment efforts in the Tri-County area of Monterey, Santa Cruz, and San Benito counties. It links local and statewide recruitment efforts, sponsors press conferences and recognition events, and enjoys a broad spectrum of media support. It has included KION, KCBA, KSMS, and KSBW television, as well as KSCO, KTOM, KUSP, and KAZU radio stations and local print media. These efforts have been extremely helpful in our recruitment efforts and have more than doubled the number of Hispanic foster and adoptive homes in our county. Through the years, recruitment efforts are at their peak during sponsored broadcasts, which are always matched with generous portions of donated airtime. In particular, I'd like to call attention to KION and KCBA. KION sponsored the Just for Kids program, which was a local waiting child program that featured local children waiting for adoption. It helped place some of our most difficult children, and one 14-year-old girl was adopted by a family who called us within moments of seeing her shown on this Just for Kids program. When we needed to launch a new campaign for our Family to Family initiative, two KION KCBA executives spent a full day with us at a planning retreat. They've served on the Family to Family Steering Committee, and one has served as the chair of the Marketing Committee. They've produced five-minute eye-openers featuring various segments of our Family to Family program, and we receive an average of 75 minutes per month of broadcasting each month. So I would just like to thank the local media for their support of our foster care and adoption recruitment efforts and this opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you. Microphone one.
My name is Thor Rasmussen. I'm a local resident of Monterey here. Thank you for the opportunity to talk this evening. For the most part, I support the concept of the free marketplace. However, monopolies must not be allowed. The airwaves are a very limited resource. They belong to the people. I'm concerned about large companies like Clear Channel having the ability to control the majority of broadcasting stations. In order to allow competition, there should be a limit to the number of stations that a single owner can have, say no more than 20-25% in any given market. The majority of the stations should be locally owned and operated. KSCO AM 1080 in Santa Cruz is a good example of this, as we've heard earlier from Michael Zwirling. With regard to the subject of advertising, it appears that the amount of infomercials has been increasing. While the revenue received by these paid advertising programs financially helps the stations so that they can provide real programming, the amount of time spent on this kind of advertising should be limited, and the airing of infomercials should be restricted, maybe limit the time you can have it in primetime hours. While there's lots of new technology coming out, there's a couple things that I'm concerned about. The FCC should not approve the use of BPL, broadband internet over power lines technology. BPL produces interference, which will essentially destroy the ability of amateur radio operators and emergency officials to communicate on shortwave frequencies in an emergency situation. Other forms of internet should be utilized instead of BPL. Also, I believe, as said earlier, ham frequencies should be protected. Digital AM, I think there's a lot of problems with that, with the regular analog AM. I think that should really be checked out before approved. And finally, I'd like to say, is off the subject, but beware of electronic voting. There's no way to have an independent accounting of the votes through that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Microphone two.
Good evening. I'm George Fuller. I'm a radio broadcaster in Monterey County, and I work in a local radio station. In this station for, it'll be 9 years October. It's a locally owned radio station with no change in format for 20 years, and it's the only one that's done that. Everything else here has changed as often as I guess as I change socks. And what I want to explain to you is how local radio is attacked in another way, and that is through Arbitron. As a broadcaster in the radio station where I am, the format where I work is what the market is here. It's jazz and blues. And when I contact clients, major clients, for instance, well, these major grocery store chains, and I have to get in touch with their people in L.A. about advertising on our station, then what they say is you got to make the ratings. And the ratings go to radio stations that subscribe to Arbitron that pay $35,000 a year. We don't have to do that. We don't have to subscribe to ratings. We know what the market is, and we are the market. But they refuse to do this. So this is how local radio is attacked through Arbitron. I think the Federal Communications Commission should have a word with Arbitron and these rating services and say, hey, move somebody into the community, live there a while, find out what's going on, because we are what's going on. And I come from an old school. I hold a first-class license. I have 21 years on the air, and I've only worked in one format, and that's jazz and blues. I'll go nowhere else. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, microphone one.
Good evening. My name is Harry Wardwell. I'm a community banker from Salinas and a lifelong resident of Monterey County. And for over 30 years, I've been heavily involved in our community. I'm currently a board of trustees of the local Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare System, director of the California Rodeo, and executive director of the California International Air Show, all of which are great organizations that have done tremendous things for our community over the years and depend on the local media. And yes, over the last few years, we have seen a consolidation of electronic media, TV, and radio stations into large media companies. But locally, however, I feel, in my opinion, that it's been transparent. The local managers for the Clear Channel TV and radio stations, the Hearst Argyle stations, are heavily involved in the community. They take leadership roles in our community. They know our community. They're involved in our community. And they're listening to our community. They're all raising their children here and know and understand local issues. I think they're very responsive. I think they do an excellent job in covering local news. I think they do an excellent job in covering civic affairs, education, social issues, community events. And I think the needs of our community are being served by even the large media companies serving the local communities in our Central Coast. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, over at microphone two.
Eric Neville from Oakland. I noticed that in the packet that we were given, there were two press releases regarding these meetings. I just wanted to let you know that, interestingly enough, I heard absolutely nothing about this on my local television news broadcast. I regularly watch morning and evening news, and despite the handful of news vans outside, I literally saw nothing on localism at all, let alone specifics of when and where this meeting would be, even though I received four stations with evening and morning news broadcasts. I think this single fact speaks to just how poor the service of the community's news needs are being met by the existing situation. Furthermore, adding to the comments about the location of this meeting and its relative distance from a major metropolitan center, it seems that a citizen of this country couldn't help but wonder how much greater public participation would have been if this meeting had been properly notified. If the public were properly informed of this hearing, and furthermore, if there were hearings such as this in a major metropolitan area, maybe even near a public transportation system, a major one. Finally, in closing, I just wanted to mention a particular thing that's a big frustration to me, and I think a major shame. KCSM, which is nominally a public television station, has dropped their analog signal. The only way I found out about this was because they had a little, thing on a screen, for a week after they shut off, saying what had gone on. So anybody who's watching cable or satellite wouldn't know about this, but I think that this is a travesty of broadcasting in service of a democracy.
May I have the commissioner speak to that first, please?
I just want to say a quick story.
I was out in Phoenix. We had a hearing like this about a year and a half ago, kind of a consolidated media environment. We had a good turnout there, 400 or 500 people. So I asked one of the guys in the audience, I said, well, where did you hear about this? Because there's a lot of consolidation in the media here. He said, oh, I heard about it on the BBC.
Mr. Heston, yes, go ahead.
The fact of the matter is we're very fortunate that about, on a regular circulation, about 190,000 households are. And the FCC, on the day that it was announced that they were coming, was on our television station, on all newscasts, was on our website. In fact, the FCC called to say, why is our press release on your website? And Commissioner Adelstein was live last night for an extended period of time from Washington, D.C., from our Hearst Argyle Washington News Bureau, where our anchor Dan Green interviewed him. So I'm incredulous when I hear something like that, but I invite you to watch, and we'll try to do even better for you.
Thank you, Mr. Austin. Microphone one.
Yeah, I'm Jim Burns, and I'm from Monterey, California, and I really wanted to thank Commissioner Abernathy for promising to investigate that KSJO DJ. I mean, it's weighed heavy on us for these years. And what happened was June 9th, a month ago, there was a consent decree that was signed that fined Clear Channel $1.75 million. And all the cases of indecency that had ever been filed against them were to be wiped clean from the slate and never used in relicensing hearings. And here we'd been going for 2 years with this thing, waiting for the process to work. And all we need is three commissioners, you know, to make this happen. So we got really worried. That was during the Reagan funeral when there was a media blackout. I thought, you know, what's really going on? It was my thing was going on, you know. But the thing is that Clear Channel is the largest broadcaster of indecency in the country. I mean, they are. And the CEO of Clear Channel is Lowry Mays. And he built the presidential library for George Bush Sr., on the Lowry Mays School of Business on the Texas A&M campus. And the vice chair of Clear Channel is a man named Tom Hicks. He's vice chair. He made the president a multimillionaire by buying the Texas Rangers in 1998. Okay? So the largest broadcasters of indecency in the country are George Bush's friends. I mean, quoted over and over in the paper that they're lifelong friends with the Bush family. So I'm just going, you know, oh, my God, you know, George Bush's friends wouldn't harm us in California, you know. They would play fair by the rules in the stock market, you know. But, I mean, nobody monopolizes indecency, right? So how is the religious right and the corporate libertarians finding common ground in the Republican Party when the corporate libertarians believe anything they broadcast to make money?
Thank you. Microphone two.
Good evening. My name is Bill Frisch. I've been involved with Public Access TV for a number of years, both here in Monterey and in New York. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Peter Finch shouted those words out an open window to the streets below in the movie Network. After 11 years as a news anchor, TV news anchor, he began ranting about the true nature of the media's power and its focus on earning bigger profits. It's scary to see that this 1976 Hollywood film has become an example of life imitating art. When I moved to this area, I wondered about the shared resources of local TV stations, KCBA and KION, which is owned by the corporate juggernaut Clear Channel. The same stories are being shared, as well as the same physical environment. On numerous occasions, the same news anchor appeared on the newscast for both of the stations. This is diversity of ideas in a democracy. With Clear Channel's radio dominance, recent cross-country drives have resulted in hearing homogeneous sounds across the 3,000 miles traveled from coast to coast. This is diversity of ideas in a democracy. I also wondered about Clear Channel's decision to ban certain songs from airplay on its radio stations after the 9/11 attacks. John Lennon's Imagine and Peace Train by Cat Stevens are idealistic songs that were tabooed in our warmongering industrial corporate society we have. Where was the FCC during this outright assault on our First Amendment rights were first heard in other media? This is diversity of ideas in a democracy. It's time for the FCC to monitor a return to the balanced, objective, and fair standards that were set forth in the Fairness Doctrine. It's time for a return for more diversity of ideas over the airwaves that belong to the public. It's time to promote local interests. The communities that you're supposed to serve are mad as hell. Listen to the citizens now before the shouting gets too loud. Thank you.
Microphone one.
Hi, thank you for staying so late. I know you're tired, so am I. My name is Kimber Nealon. I'm an educator by profession, but more importantly for this forum, I am a military family member as well as an ex-soldier myself. My husband and I just got back from 3 years overseas in Germany. We were in the Kaiserslautern military community, which is, you may have heard of Launchtal Hospital, where they bring their wounded soldiers. I would drive home every evening from my job in the Department of Defense schools, and the only thing that I could hear between the hours of 1600 and 2000 were, 1600 AFN Evening News Watch, which was basically a mouthpiece for the Bush administration, Sports Byline, Rush Limbaugh at 1800, Dr. Laura Schlesinger at 1900, 1945 was Paul Harvey News and Commentary. And finally, around 8 o'clock, when I was getting ready for bed, making dinner, eating my dinner, I heard something that was a little more to my ideology, NPR Talk of the Nation. But it was only on for a few hours, and they would often cut the broadcast in the middle of a show or an interview. I was very heartened to read in the Army Times this week that there's language in the 2005 Defense Authorization Bill ordering Armed Forces Radio and Television Service to provide politically balanced commentary. However, of course, there is a Representative Sam Johnson, a Republican from Texas, is fighting that, saying that he's not worried about having an ideological balance, that it's more important that military members overseas be afforded the opportunity to have listen to the same programs that they could listen to here. That's a concern.
Thank you. Microphone two.
Good evening. Thank you very much for staying so late. My name is Pete Shanks. I represent the local Santa Cruz Monterey chapter of the National Writers Union. We've passed a resolution which I've given to the staff outside, and I hope you read it. I won't take up your time by reading it out. It's in favor of localism and diversity of expression. I thought I'd point out a couple of other things, though. I said the local Santa Cruz Monterey chapter. I'm also actually speaking for the San Diego chapter, the Los Angeles chapter, the San Francisco chapter, San Francisco Bay Area, the Seattle chapter, the Oregon chapter, New Mexico chapter. My point is, this is one meeting for the entire Western states, which is an enormous area, which has very, very varied communities with different issues, different takes. I suspect you'll hear the same message, because the message I've been hearing all night is basically, we all want local, diverse media ownership. There are a number of charitable organizations saying thank you to people who've done nice things to them. And that's fine. That's really polite. But I'm not sure they wouldn't want more local, diverse ownership, too. That's what we're calling for. You're getting a really consistent message here. Please, take these meetings further around the country. I think you'll get the same message. And please, take that back to D.C. and craft new rules that will implement this message. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Microphone one.
Hello, my name is Carlos Vargas, and I am a program coordinator for Barrios Unidos, a gang intervention prevention counseling agency in Eastside Salinas, California. Tonight, I'm a messenger for the youth of Eastside Salinas. The message I deliver this evening is one of gang violence, drug addiction, illiteracy, pregnant kids, overpopulation, and in some cases, death. In a community where these issues dominate our children, we as a community need to find common ground and search for the answers within. That's when I had an idea. Why not apply for a low-powered radio station? Why not let the youth of the community talk about the problems that are affecting them directly? What a positive impact to let young people address young people through radio airwaves. What a positive thing to have youth run and operate the radio station. What a positive impact if you let the youth facilitate discussion. Because kids will influence kids. Me as a 37-year-old, it's hard to reach sometimes. It's very difficult to reach a 16-year-old. But a 16-year-old has a better chance of reaching a 16-year-old. You go to almost any home in Eastside Salinas, and you will hear a radio being played. But it is not the radio our youth can truly call their own, or radio that truly addresses their needs. If our local radio giants want to continue to market to our youth instead of interacting with them, be my guest. The time has come for us as a local community to provide a forum for communication, understanding, and discussion for our kids and our community as a whole. So I am here this evening asking for a low-power radio station license so I can do this. I've heard all the reasons why I can't do it, but I'm here to explain why I need it.
Thank you very much. And microphone two, it's yours.
Hi, my name is Sidney Levy. I'm from San Francisco. I am an immigrant, a human rights activist, and a media democracy activist. I was one of the coordinators of the hearing in San Francisco on media ownership attended in the spring of last year by Commissioner Adelstein. This was one of 13 regional hearings that communities put together, not the FCC. That was last year. That day in San Francisco, we had over 650 people come giving over 7 hours of public comments representing every region, every color, every age, every opinion in the larger Bay Area. This was an unprecedented civic event in our community. KRON TV, which is unaffiliated, covered the event. KPFA and KPOO Radio, which are independent, broadcasted it live. We asked the commercial TV stations to come, not only to cover it, but to be in the panel. We got no for an answer. The local ABC, no. Local CBS, zero. Local NBC, zip. Local Fox, zilch. We asked them to cover it, not only to be in the panel. Nothing. All we got from them was rumors from people that worked inside that said that from high above, they were told not to touch the issue. I'm asking you why. Why wouldn't they touch the issue? May it be because commercial media had an interest on not touching the issue because they were talking about themselves, about media ownership, about media monopoly, about media conglomeration. We didn't get it. What kind of democracy can we fashion when the airwaves that are supposed to belong to the public, we have all of the commercial stations in the Bay Area, not one came. And I'm not saying this is sour grapes. I'll be very quick. This is not a charity. I'm not talking about like a children's charity. I'm talking about an issue that's as important, but it's a little bit more controversial, and it's vital for our democracy. Thank you.
Thank you. At podium one.
A different perspective, I believe, from what I've heard. My name is Howell Hurst. I am a graduate of the Defense Language Institute. I'm a former captain of United States Army Intelligence. I'm a longtime marketing consultant and a published freelance writer of 30 years. Being allowed only 2 minutes to speak, I cannot present a substantive statement. Your rule effectively blocks this. Some of us in America have developed a suspicion which we state neither as opinion nor fact, that it is possible, at least conceptually, that some of our presidents, senators, representatives, and federal civil servants could be construed to have been or to be in financial or at least in philosophical collusion with the highest multinational American corporate interests, a major portion of whose holdings are the military-industrial complex, the oil industry, and the controlling media of the country. Our media, which legally belongs to us, the citizens of the United States. This suspicion indicates only our frame of mind as we observe American corporate presidents taking multi-million dollar salaries while financing most political campaigns, whether Democrat or Republican, while exporting our jobs out of the country, while massively profiting from various worldwide wars, while controlling the mining, manufacturing, distribution, wholesale and retail sales and advertising of nearly all products and services sold to us on their, pardon me, our media, last paragraph. Should proof of such suspicions, listen closely, should proof of such suspicions be unearthed, we citizens, as the sole legal source of legitimate government authority, have a sacred obligation to deal with such constitutional violations of contract between our government and ourselves. When it is clear we are being taken for fools, we arise, we organize, and we fight for what is legally ours.
And that was your last paragraph,
and
you said.
We
that you
win.
Said was your
and
last
we
paragraph.
We always win.
Thank
we
you.
Are here to remind
thank,
you
thank
of
you
this.
Thank you very much.
I'm finishing.
Okay. All right. Okay. Your last sentence.
Listen to the words. You work for us on the panel. You do not work for the corporations. If you do not bring this insidious media monopoly under control, we American citizens will find a way to bring it under control. Edward R. Murrow said a citizen of a republic
you're
may
not good
for advocate.
Your word. Okay. Thank you very much. Microphone two.
I just have to ask, how many of us are wondering who can type that fast up there? My goodness. Good evening. My name is Mark Kennedy. I was born and raised here in this beautiful area. I am the father of three very influential young boys under the age of 10. And in the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to give back to this community and serve on some boards. Most notably, I'm serving on the National Steinbeck Center, the YMCA, and the American Cancer Society Relay for Life. The one I want to take issue with tonight is there seems to be this notion that local management of our media are a bunch of corporate robots, and I don't think that's the case. You know, there are individuals in this room that serve our community, and they do a great job. On these boards, what I find is that they very seldom say no. They usually are saying, what else can we do to help? Most of the time, they seem just completely consumed with their jobs and the local issues that are going on and are finding ways to help out. I think the thing that's most notable is the time that they give. They're not only members of the community, but they're serving on all the boards. On all the boards that I've served on in the last 3 years, there's always been a representative of local media, whether it be radio or TV. They're there given of their time, not just because they have to. So those are my brief comments. I just want to say that I don't believe they are corporate robots. They're people that are here to serve. And yes, there is corporate management out there, but I don't ever hear them say to me, I better check with corporate on that one. I don't get that. Thank you.
Okay. A warning, we're down to 10 minutes for those online who have friends they want to share their time with. Microphone one.
Great, thank you. My name is Tom Carvey. Good evening, commissioners. I'm the executive director of Common Ground, Monterey County, and a 40-year resident of Monterey County myself. Raised four children here and lived for 10 years in Big Sur, of all places. No power, no electricity, no TV, and it was beautiful. Well, welcome to the big world. And Common Ground Monterey County is a group composed of some labor folks, affording housable advocates, ag business people, educators, hospitality, minority groups, and we advocate for issues such as affordable housing, land use policies that are approaching sanity so that the 12% of people that can buy homes here in Monterey County currently may be increased to a greater proportion, maybe 15%, maybe more. These are controversial issues here in Monterey County, and we're very thankful for some of our local radio stations who have given us time, ample time, to discuss issues with the community, issues that are controversial. And I've been very fortunate. For 15 minutes every Monday morning at 8:30 on Radio KIM 1460, Common Ground has been able to bring in a guest, an expert from the community. Could be the superintendent of schools, could be the mayor of Salinas, it could be an expert on water. And we've been able to discuss issues such as affordable housing, which in our county of Monterey is a very controversial topic. We've been able to discuss that, not only to discuss it and have back and forth dialogue about this controversial topic, but to receive call-in telephone calls from people around the county, from all the way from Santa Cruz to San Ardo, calling in, wanting to express and wanting to tell us what they think about issues such as affordable housing, education, the environment, health care, citizenship, water supply, agricultural viability. We've been able to do this in Spanish also on the sister station La Preciosa 100.7, and it's been a great opportunity. We're thankful for our local radio stations. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone two.
Hello, good evening, commissioners, and thank you so much for sticking out this late. My name is Laura Cameron. I'm also with the National Writers Union. I'm on the steering committee of the local chapter. I also serve as a national trustee. I live here in Seaside, and I edit Monterey Magazine. When I lived in Britain for 16 years, I didn't watch a lot of television because you had to pay for it. And when I came back to the U.S., I didn't watch a lot of television because it was awful. So I survive on the BBC and NPR, and I'm very, very grateful for them. I'd like to address the idea of freedom of thought, by which I mean the independent thinking I would love to see the FCC demonstrate in these matters. I suppose given the political leadership who appointed this particular commission, I shouldn't be surprised that some of the decisions we've heard about reflect what I would call bias, and bias towards big business and big media. I am here to urge the commissioners to act in the ideal mode of the Supreme Court and place themselves beyond efforts to sway their decisions, whether financially or by cronyism or political pressure. I urge you to remember who you serve, the people. The vast majority of us don't live anywhere near New York City or Los Angeles, the big acknowledged media centers. Locally owned, locally programmed radio and television are essential to serving and informing the American people. Maybe someone who appoints people doesn't want us to be that informed. I don't like to think that, but we deserve better than biased, ignorant reporting. Biased towards big business and ignorant of our local issues. We really deserve better than that. As a writer, as a consumer of media, and as a taxpayer, I urge the FCC to encourage local media in every way you can and discourage media monopoly wherever it rears its head. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Microphone one.
Okay. Good morning. And welcome to the Monterey Peninsula, where citizens must be able to receive signals from PBS, Pacifica, a few NPR station programs, and BBC in order to get firsthand information from investigative reporters on issues and actions vital to our survival. I speak of such crucial concerns as access to health care, affordable housing, care of the homeless, care of the elderly, the state of the physical and political infrastructure, changes in educational procedures, protection of the environment, our civil rights, i.e., what is being done in our name with our tax dollars, our national resources, and our very lives. We only get sound bites locally if we get them. We implore you to take extra care in protecting these valuable resources so that we truly have access to immediate news alternatives to the limited party line. We can make our own decisions as to what is good for us and our world only if we are allowed access to all sides of issues. Indeed, access to the issues themselves. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. And I would like to say thank you for passionate, spirited, intellectually sound, most times, comments. Tonight it's been fun, and I hope you get the joke at the end. Everyone who spoke tonight obviously have deep feelings, or you wouldn't be here at nearly midnight. But most of all, I want to thank the commissioners who have sat here, listened, taken notes, heard you. There is 2 minutes left before they march us out of this building. I don't know if anybody on the panel has a comment, but I'm certainly going to turn it back to the chair for that word.
Commissioner Copps, do you have some closing words?
I just want to thank everybody for their heartfelt input, for the facts, for the data, for the new things we learned. I agree with these calls for more hearings. Commissioner Adelstein and I have specifically asked Chairman Powell to hold a series of commission meetings around the country on ownership, specifically on ownership as we plunge into rewriting the rules, or we're looking at the rules that the courts send to us. I hope we'll be back out here. We also urge, though, community activists to hold their own hearings and groups to hold their own hearings. We can do a few if Chairman Powell is reluctant to have full commission meetings. I think others of us will hit the road ourselves and do them like we did last year. But I'd also urge communities around the country to hold their own hearings. And speaking for myself, I'll be at as many of them as I can possibly be at. And I would encourage people to do that. Thank you again for your hospitality and for your input.
Thank you, Commissioner Copps. Commissioner Adelson?
Well, just real quick before we get booted out of here, I think that we heard a lot of eloquence tonight from the people of California. I'm used to that because I heard it when I was here in San Francisco a while back. But I found that I think people are even more educated than they were last year. They're even more articulate, incredibly clear, incredibly thoughtful, and very concise, I might add. But there's a clear message we're going to take back. I mean, we really heard it loud and clear. I don't think that you're going to let us get away with this again. And we're ready to go on the road. I'm ready to hear from all of the different communities here in California, large and small, and all across the country. We'll go to as many as we can. We can't go to as many as we should because there just is not enough time. But we will go everywhere we can, and we will hear this message and whatever other messages people have to deliver, and we will take it back and really try to integrate this into the rules. So thank you so much for your eloquence and for taking the time to share with us your views. It's your airwaves.
And in closing, I just want to say thanks to everyone for sticking with us tonight, for educating us, for providing me with new information about what we should be looking at, what we should be thinking about when it comes to localism, for giving respect to your fellow speakers, whether you agreed or disagreed with them. That, I think, reflects what's best about who we are as Americans. And we and I will continue to work on these issues. As I said, I don't think anyone has a monopoly on the truth. I need to keep learning and listening, and that's what we'll keep doing. So thank you very much.
Meeting is adjourned.